Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson, editorial director of SearchHealthIT.com. The final version of the Stage 1 Meaningful Use Requirements are due out any week now. And with me today to talk about that and other electronic health records issues is Chuck Christian, CIO at Good Samaritan Hospital in Vincennes, Indiana. Thanks for joining us, Chuck.
Hey, you're very welcome. Glad for the opportunity.
So there was a recent period of comment on the Stage 1 requirements. Did you or your hospital have any comments back to the ONC on the requirements?
I'm on the CHIME Public Policy Steering Committee, so myself and a group of folks spent a lot of time poring over those and creating the comments that the CHIME organization sent back to ONC and HHS.
Any particular issues that you wanted to address there?
The whole industry is kind of chewed on this kind of ad nauseum. You know, I think the biggest thing for me is the fact that it's kind of like cliff vesting. You either do it all or you get nothing. And I think that what we need to do is keep an eye on the end result, where we want to be in 2015. And I think if you speak with Dr. Blumenthal and the other ones, that's exactly what they want to do. But they're being a little bit too prescriptive about how we get there. My organization is pretty progressive with clinical systems implementation, as have been. We've taken one approach, and other organizations have taken a different approach. And I think that we're both going to get to the same destination at the end, but we're just taking a little bit different roads. It's kind of like, you know, from home going to Walmart. You can get there a lot of different ways. Some will get you there in the same amount of time, but most of the time you'll get in the same location.
So you're fairly far along in the electronic records process at your hospital?
Yeah, at our organization, we've spent the last 10 years or so putting in clinical systems. Those range from clinical documentation to OR management systems to ED systems to bedside barcoding of medication administration, medication reconciliation processes. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing that we do not have in place is physician order entry. We have a five-year plan that we've put together. It's more of a really good three-year plan. It's 5 years, but 3 years is in focus, and 18 months is really, really clear. Nothing that we're doing for meaningful use was not on the plan before. We've rearranged some things. We've not added anything to get there.
So rearranging things to get into the timetable?
Right. I've always been a proponent of putting the clinical systems in place that you're going to need to have for clinical decision support before you install physician order entry. If you can't present good clinical information to the physician while they're in an electronic manner and integrated into the physician order entry system, then you're basically giving them an electronic system. They're going to have to refer back to other systems or applications to look up that clinical information. And case in point, if they're about to prescribe a medication that is cleared through the body, through the kidneys, it would be really nice to know for that physician, for the system to be smart enough to know if we're doing a drug that has renal clearance on it, you know, what's the patient's creatinine BUN? You know, is their renal function good? If this drug has a tendency to create some difficulties with kidneys, and then offer a suggestion of a medication that's cleared through the liver rather than through the kidney. So they'll have the good clinical information. The physicians already know that, but if that information can be presented to them, they don't have to remember to go look for it, then we can actually help them make good clinical decisions. Not going to replace their clinical judgment, but give them that assistance and that additional piece of information that may or may not have known at that point in time.
What are the biggest technology pain points that you are facing as a result of moving to be compliant with the new EHR rules?
The technology exists. There's not really any technology pain points. It's the process redesign pain points and, you know, learning new habits and those type of things that go along with it. The other thing is making sure that we prioritize, you know, how we need to go about these things in the appropriate manner. You know, we want to make sure we spend the limited amount of money that we have correctly. So you don't want to go down one path and wind up and make a $50,000 correction or $100,000 or $1 million error. I'll give you a prime example. And in pharmacy, we have a pharmacy order management system where the nurses can scan in the written orders and they pop up on a screen in pharmacy and the pharmacist can review them and enter the order. Well, we were looking to upgrade that, and the upgrade is going to cost several tens of thousands of dollars. But if we go ahead and move forward with physician order entry, we can not do that upgrade because with physician order entry, you don't need that scanning capability to get that order quickly to pharmacy for pharmacy review. It's all done electronically and integrated.
Okay. are there any specific technologies that you're going to have to upgrade? Is it just going to be applications, or are you going to have to look at infrastructure as well?
Well, I think it's going to be both. We're in the middle of doing an infrastructure upgrade to get to the next level of technology for our clinical applications right now. That was planned before ARA, Meaningful Use, came out. It's just that next generation to take advantage of going from very large Unix servers to arrays, Linux servers, and then throwing Oracle Rack on top of that so we can take advantage of keeping the applications running and decreasing our total downtime for upgrades and those type of things. So it's going to be both. There is no vendor on the planet today, if any of them tell you they can make meaningful use, they're not being truthful because we don't know what those rules are. The official certification process and certification bodies have not been delineated or defined or identified yet. And so we're all in the same boat. Today, there are no certified products you can install. So we're all going to have to go through some kind of process of doing those upgrades. There's very few, if any, on the market that I know of that can meet the quality measurements where you can hit a button and pop out the quality measurements because there's a lot of process that has to be put in place and new charting processes and data elements created to do that. And so it's going to be both the technology and the applications that we're going to have to do upgrades.
So do you have a workflow process in place that you will be able to keep once you are completed with this project, or are you going to have to revamp the workflow process along with the new technology?
That's part of our internal process. We always look at the processes surrounding the technology. So we make sure that we're doing it and taking advantage of the efficiencies, the new functionality, or the change functionality. I've been in healthcare for a long time, and we have a real propensity to add just another layer of process because we think it's going to fix the problem. It's kind of like patching the inner tube to a point that you only can see the patches. So we take that opportunity of making sure that we review the processes, and we're very much incorporating the Baldrige criteria into how we do business. And so those continuous cycles of quality improvement that we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing, we're doing the best thing, and this thing called best value. Best value is not the cheapest technology or it's not the most expensive, but it's the best that we can provide for our patients.
Mm-hmm. One more question along those lines. Electronic health records, the value of them wouldn't be fully realized unless the patients had access to them as well. Does your hospital have or plan to develop a patient portal for patients to access their records, and what steps are you taking to achieve that?
And you're absolutely correct, but I think I'll take it a little bit further. It's not just the fact that we put the data out there for them. We have to work with our patients to get engaged in their care processes and make them more informed and more engaged in how they take care of themselves. We do that by engaging them with data and putting that information in a place that they can review and get to and then interact with. If their patients are diabetics, we need to provide a way that they can upload their meters so that the diabetologists and the dietitians and our internal medicine physicians can review those and then create those opportunities for improved communication with the people that provide health care for them. So a patient portal, you can call it a variety of things, but for me it's a way to engage our patients in their own health care process.
Mm-hmm. So is that something that's live now?
It's not. It's something that's on our list. It's been on the list to do. One of the things we're wanting to do is incorporate our ambulatory or physician practices in that process, too. It's all the same data. I don't really think that today, of course, I may have my mind changed for me as I learn more things. The patients don't need multiple portals. They need one place to go. And that data from their acute care facilities and the people that do their diagnostic testing and physicians, it all needs to flow in one place. You know, if you're Microsoft or Google, they got a solution for you. Not sure if that's the solution that everybody needs to take a look at, but those are the ones that are out there. I mean, there are ways, and there are many community hospitals like ours, they're creating that patient portal that all that data will flow into that can be are highly secure and are really, really do take in consideration, you know, the security and privacy. And I'm not suggesting that Microsoft and Google don't do that. I don't know enough about their infrastructure to even make a judgment of it. But making sure that we don't present the patients and the physicians multiple places and have to go data entry and review.
Right. Okay, thanks, Chuck. I know this is a busy time for you and for everybody. Maybe sometime in the next few months we can check in again and see how things are going.
That'd be great. Be glad to.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to this SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit searchhealthit.com. Thank you.